I'm Fayez Naif Khairuddin from Majdalon village in Baalbek. I was honored to be one of the guards of Sayyid Abbas Mousavi up to the day he became a martyr on February 16th, 1992. It was Sunday at 6:30 or 6:45 when we departed towards south and the village of Jabshi. Our convoy consisted of 5 cars, 2 Land Rovers and 3 other ones.
My hope, and the warmth of my heart, Omar Yasser. After kissing your florid face, I hope you receive this letter while you are happy and healthy. As I opened the door and saw the postman, I was shaking with happiness, and I felt a unique feeling, in a way that if there was no one in the street, I would have taken the postman and I would have put him on my shoulders. Anyway, after that, I left home to buy a present for you. On the way, I thought to myself what this present should be. At last, I decided to buy a package of books for you.
I remember he looked at Omar Yasser and said, "Omar Yasser, I'm studying and I want to return to my country. I want to become a teacher and help people. If anyone asks you a question, I'd like to answer, and don't say that I should ask from Sayyid. I want you to be an educated lady and know everything about religion." He once came inside and saw that Omar Yasser and I were cleaning the fridge. "What are you doing? Shouldn't you be at your class?" We had lessons with Sayyid Azatullah that day. We said, "We have not finished cleaning the fridge. We're a bit late. I will finish it. Up to now, you were cleaning it. Now I'll clean it. Just don't miss your class."
My dear and light of life, I did not move a finger in this house, a house that I am writing to you from its library. Thanks to what God had blessed you with, it's very lively and abundant with the joy of learning. I did not take a step in this house without being deeply stricken with the darkness without you. I don't want anything from God but to help you.
Actually, I was curious about Sayyid's work. "Sayyid, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Ask whatever you like." You must have a reason when you called Omar Yasser and put your head on his hand and slept that way. I know there is a reason, but I want to know what it is.
"I
Sister, this woman is very devoted. She spends most of the time for children, raising them, their education and house errands, and attending the guests. She always brings us the comfort. Shouldn't she feel that I realize her presence in this short period of time that I spend at home? She should feel that she is the reason for my comfort and she is everything to me in order to be able to continue. I owe her this, and God has ordered us to do this.
I had seen that, how much my mother loves my dad and what a good relation they share and how they respect one another. I said, "Mom, why do you love father this much?" She said, "I smell the scent of Imam Ali from your father."
Umm Yasir had a pivotal role in the life of Sayyid Abbas, a major role. My dad would always say this over and over. Where's the woman with beautiful smiles? Where's the woman with that happy face? No Mother's Day would pass without Sayyid Abbas holding a small ceremony at home.
We had our own responsibilities. For example, Kumail read Quran while I was in charge of chants. Yasir and Somaya acted the play in between. I remember Mom and Dad sat there and enjoyed seeing us doing all these.
Once I knocked, when I opened the door, I saw him wearing an apron. "Oh, what are you doing?" he said. "Umm Yasir is in Syria. There's a conference there. She has an interview. Who's going to cook for children? Me?"
That day, Muhammad, my brother, really misbehaved. Dad was very patient. Muhammad sat, beat him once in a few minutes. When he misbehaved, my dad said, "My dear Umm Yasir," he was reminded how patient my mother had been.
Once there was a bomb car on the way of Sayyid Abbas. The next day, Lady Umm Yasir was in my car. On our way, I asked how you felt when that bomb exploded on the way to Sayyid Abbas. She said, "Let me tell you one thing." I said, "Yes, please." She said, "There's a pact between Sayyid Abbas and me. We become martyr with each other. It's a pact between us before God." She said, "I was sure that nothing happens to Sayyid Abbas." I asked, "Are you that sure about it?" She said, "I'm sure Sayyid Abbas and I will become martyr with each other."
Whenever Sayyid Abbas returned from a mission or trip, had he brought a gift for children, he would always treat girls and boys differently. He would tell Sumaya and Batul, "Come here, I've brought you some gifts." First, he would give the gifts to the girls, and then to us.
What he always did was, if he saw a special characteristic in us, he focused on that. For example, he knew I liked to play piano and make hymns. He encouraged me. He said, "If you teach Hussein this hymn, so he learns it by heart, and then you play piano and he sings it for me, I'll be very happy." I remember I practiced a lot with Hussein and taught him to memorize it, so when my father returns, he sings it for him. When my father heard the hymn, I remember he gave me money and encouraged me.
He had a special method. For example, when one of us made a mistake and made him angry, he tried to make us understand it later. He sent for me or my brother or sister to drink a tea or something with him. Then he tried to make us understand why he had become angry and had punished us.
Once there was this issue with one of the neighbors. Hussein did something that brought up this issue. Anyway, the neighbor came to our door and complained to my mother. That was very uncomfortable, that how Hussein had done such a thing to the neighbor's child. He called Hussein and convinced him to buy a pack of chocolates. He said, "You take this to our neighbor and apologize." Later, Hussein and that child became such inseparable friends and were always playing in front of the house.
But sometimes he would punish us by depriving us from something. How? For example, he knew Yasser liked football. Football was his passion. He would say, "You made this mistake about this thing, so you should endure its consequences. Therefore, you can't play football today," especially in the summer. He would say, "You wanted to go and play football today? You can't. You should stay at home."
The worst punishment for me was when he did not talk to me and he did not ask me anything. He just looked at me and that was all. I can't forget that. It was the worst punishment of my life.
A cat was eating something from the garbage bag. With the sound of the car horn, the scared cat escaped. When we got to the building, he called me and asked, "Who is the Land Rover's driver?" I answered. He said, "Hussein, this cat was eating something. Why did you scare it with the sound of the horn?" He said, "I was not aware of it, sir." He said, "If this cat asks you in the judgment day why you have scared me while I've been eating, what do you answer? Do you say I've been the guard of Sayyid Abbas Muvatavi?" Hussein, be aware of God and don't bring about other world's punishments for me. آتيك فردان
شاخصا.
He never had to tell us to read the Quran. When we saw him reading the Quran, we also had to read the Quran as well. And then he kept an eye on how I was reading the Quran. I once asked him, "How much of the Holy Quran have you memorized? Do you know Baqarah, for example, when you tell us that memorizing the Holy Quran is important?" He sat down. I said, "Read for us." He started to read and read and read until Azan. And he was reading in Tajweed, not ordinary. I said, "That's enough. It's Azan time. We want to have the fast and then say our prayers."
I remember once I brought tennis rackets to play with my sisters. Father came and stood on one side and started playing with us, taking turns. He said, "It's my turn. It's Sumayya's turn. Now Kumail, now Batul." Once, my dad and brother were playing with a ball. It was not a heavy one. I remember I had a soccer ball, one of those ones that soccer players play with in matches, and they're heavy. Said Abbas was to attend a ceremony in Beirut. He saw that I brought my ball. He said, "Be careful not to play with it. It's heavy. I don't want to have my glasses broken." As we were playing, the lighter ball was thrown away somewhere, and I went and brought my soccer ball and threw it towards my father. Dad was not paying attention to me. The ball hit his glasses and broke its frame. I thought now he would shout at me or punish me, but he had a completely different reaction. He said, "My son, didn't I tell you this ball is heavy? Didn't I say play with the other one?" His reaction was a kind father's reaction, an affectionate father.
The
Even more surprising than that one, we were going somewhere by car and two children were going to school. There was a puddle of water in our way. The driver did not notice it. The car's tire went into the puddle and the water splashed on the children. They became wet. The driver's name was Mohammed. He told him, "Mohammed, what have you done?" He said, "I didn't notice it, sir." He said, "Isn't this unfair? If these children were rich, they went by school service. Now they have to return home. They might have no other uniform. You made their uniform wet." He says, "Sir, I did not notice it, I swear to God." He said, "From now on, be careful. Don't bring about other world's punishment for me."
"I used to go to a friend's house every day. Once I said, 'I want to know this friend of yours better, this friend of yours you're always talking about.' I said, 'Dad, you mean you have enough time to sit down and talk to him?' He said, 'You know what? Whenever I'm home, you tell him to come over and we sit down and talk.' I said, 'Okay.' I went to his house and told him that my father wanted to see him. Their house was about 100 meters away from ours. My friend could not believe it. He said, 'Sayyid Abbas wants to see me?' He was terrified and he was confused. I remember I brought him to my father. My father sat with him and talked to him kindly. I remember he liked my friend. He said, 'Your friend is really good. Keep up your friendship with him.'"
"Once I was talking with my dad. I had made a small tent on our roof. I liked these kinds of things. I had collected the sheets and blankets on the roof and had made a tent with them. I was a child. Dad was very busy, and I kept asking him, 'Dad, come to my tent once.' He kept smiling, but he was busy. He said, 'Okay, later I will come.' Later, 2 weeks passed. One day he said, 'Go to your tent and make a tea with coal for us to drink.'"
"What had he done? Kamal had made a small tent on the roof which was not even 1 meter big. Sayyid Abbas went inside, crawling. Think about it, a man like Sayyid Abbas." "He went on the roof because his son had made a tent. He went inside and said, 'Kamal, where is your tea?' He liked tea, Sayyid Abbas. Kamal and I sat in the small tent."
"After we stayed in the south for 1 year, I went to military training course. At the middle of the course, Sayyid came for a visit and also for talking with trainees. At the start of the course, he had asked everyone to treat Yasser like others, even stricter. Yasser should learn more than others. When I saw Dad in the middle of the course, I said, 'Dad, I want to come back with you,' and I cried. Naturally, he became upset and expressed it there. He said, 'You're a mujahid. Are you crying? If you don't want to finish the course, go and get in the car.' A mujahid does not cry. Mujahids finish their training and go to the front. Why are you crying?" Sayyid Abbas treated me very harsh at that moment. I went inside the car and felt guilty. I got out of the car and went to one of the officers in charge because I could not talk to Sayyid Abbas. I went to him and said, 'Ask Sayyid Abbas to let me continue the course.' He intervened and said, 'Let Yasser stay here. He made a mistake. Let him finish the course. He likes to stay.' He asked, 'Do you want to stay?' I said, 'Yes.' He said, 'Get out and go to your comrades.' I finished the course. At that time, the course took about 1 month and few days. At the end of the course, Sayyid Abbas came again. I remember what he said. He said, 'Yasser, the biggest thing you can do in your life for me is becoming a martyr.' I was a little surprised. I said, 'Why are you saying this?' He said, 'When I go visit martyrs' families, I feel embarrassed.'"
لعوائل الشهداء هنيئا لكم بشهدائكم Barakallahu lakum shuhada'akum.
The day before we were in the south, we got there tired a little before the sunset. As we had departed towards south early in the morning, we were very tired. Anyway, we had just arrived in Beirut and we were resting. They said an old man has come and wants to talk to Sayyid Abbas. I went downstairs and asked, "Father, what is it that you want?" He asked, "Is Sayyid Abbas here?" I said, "Yes, he's here. What is it that you want?" He said, "May I see Sayyid Abbas?" I said, "We're at your service, but Sayyid Abbas is very tired. Please come back at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Sayyid Abbas will be here, and I'll be at your service too." The day after, Thursday morning, the old man came back at 9:30 or 10, and when his turn came, naturally, as our duty, we were around Sayyid too. When his turn came up, he talked with Sayyid. I saw he pointed to me with the eye. Not with hands, he pointed to me with the eyes. When he was through, he left. At noon, at prayer time, Sayyid went inside his room and told me to meet him. I said, "Yes." He said, "Take a seat." I sat. He said, "This man who had come." I said, "Yes." He said, "Had he come here yesterday?" I said, "Yes." He asked, "What did you tell him?" I told him whatever that had passed. He said, "You were tired. How did you find out that I was tired as well? You were tired, not me. From now on, ask me. This man with his age went into trouble two times. Why should we bother him twice?"
Ask me.